Today on the show, Clem from theclemreport.com and Barstool Sports New York joins me for a podcast about rap beefs, robot murders, and lizard men. Plus, we'll talk Ronda Rousey, the best sports fights of all time, and since the NFL preseason is starting this weekend, we'll make division picks probably very, very poorly. It's all coming up on the Sean and Bo Show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome. It's episode 63 of the Sean and Bo Show. Well, kind of. Instead of Bo, tonight we have our buddy Clem from theclemreport.com, also a writer for Barstool Sports New York. Clem, glad to have you guest co-hosting on the show. But I guess you didn't hear the news as to why Bo is absent today, and I think a lot of our other listeners haven't heard either. So the big news, Clem, is that Bo has accepted a coaching position with New Mexico Highlands University. He's going to be the tight ends coach this season, and it's great news for Bo because that's what he wants to do career-wise, you know, football. And last year he was coaching a high school team here in Albuquerque. This year he's coaching for a university. So big steps for Bo, and I'm very proud of the guy.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm sure once Bo went in for the interview, they're like, oh, you're the coolest guy in the world. Of course, we're going to hire you.
So yeah, that's why Bo's not here tonight. We'll probably be having a slew of guest co-hosts in the coming weeks, but Bo is going to be Skyping in, and we'll be able to continue hosting the show. So nobody panic. He'll be back.
Congrats, Bo.
Hell yeah. Well, this week on the internet, Clem, you couldn't swing a dead African lion without hitting the Drake and Meek Mill beef, if you want to call it that. I say beef with air quotes. Were you impressed by this at all?
You know, it was really a mix of emotions. As someone who grew up with 90s hip hop in the very white suburbs of New York, I fell in love with, you know, rap and rap battles and all that stuff. And to be honest with you, I didn't even like Biggie growing up because I was a Tupac fan, like, early in my life.
Really?
And like, yeah. So like, looking back now, I was like, that kid was such an asshole. So compared to that beef, I was like, this beef is so soft. But I have to say, when you know, Back to Back is a legit song.
It's all right. I think myself, like a lot of other fans of hip hop, just, it's like, I respect Drake's abilities. I mean, he can obviously write some verses and all that. I hate his delivery. I hate his voice. I hate his just soft as a Sunday persona. I just can't take him that seriously. So, you know, in this beef, I think the vast majority of people fall into one of two camps. You're either a fan of Drake's and you're going to support him no matter what actually gets said in this beef, or you're not really that familiar with Meek Mill, but you don't like Drake, so you're going to fall on that side of the beef anyway. It just goes to show you, like, when a really prominent star in the rap world beefs with anyone, it's like they kind of get the benefit of the doubt. I think back to that LL Cool J Cannabis beef back in the day, where personally I thought Cannabis just lyrically destroyed LL Cool J. But Cannabis these days is working some normal job, and LL Cool J is LL Cool J.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, I'm kind of someone who never really got into Drake for the same reasons as you. I think he's kind of soft, and the whole where he switches teams and he doesn't really have anyone he roots for, it always bothers me as a sports fan. But when last night when he had the memes and he was just killing Meek Mill on stage and Kanye and Will Smith were laughing at him, I'm like, man, this has gotten to the point where it's like the softest way to murder somebody, basically.
Hip-hop beefs have devolved into PowerPoint presentations and laughing backstage, giggling with fellow hip hop stars and old actors.
But I think you agree with me when I say this, Sean. Hip hop is kind of lame these days. It's soft, and this is just like an extension of it. Even the beefs have gone soft.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, like, you and I were too young, obviously, to be around for like the Cool Moe Dee, Busy Bee beefs, and some of those early beefs in the 80s. But the thing about us is we were fans of hip hop enough. You know, we grew up, we were teenagers in sort of the golden age of hip hop, that we could still look back to those early beefs and appreciate them for what they were. Like, I think kids these days, they're screwed. They look at this as a genuine beef, and I don't think they have the same sort of respect for the art form of hip hop to be able to really appreciate how good those beefs were back when we were teens, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just the way it is. It's the way the music is, the way the, I guess, the culture is even. But if guys aren't dying, because like Biggie and Tupac, I mean, this was August 3rd was the 20th anniversary of the Source Awards when Suge called out Puffy, right. And like the beef really went to another level. And that kind of shows you like, hey, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world that it's gotten kind of soft because people aren't dying anymore.
I think your buddy Big Cat from Barstool made an excellent point, though. I mean, even if Meek Mill did have the crappier track, he got so much publicity throughout this. Like, I didn't know who Meek Mill was. And I don't listen to all the new albums that come out, but I mean, I know most of the big names. So from that perspective, any publicity is good publicity.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the fact that the whole – he wanted Drake to tweet out his album or whatever, that's how it all started. This is better than any publicity a tweet would have got him for sure, even if it almost killed him in the process. But, yeah, there's no such thing as bad publicity. And, yeah, and that's the other thing is with these songs, these diss tracks, everyone always asks me, hey, Clem, what's your favorite diss track? I still say Hit 'Em Up is by far the best diss track of all time. It's a great song, and it's the most vicious song I've ever heard in my life.
If you're somebody that is maybe a little bit younger than Clem and I and you want to check out some of these older beefs that we're talking about, I can't recommend the documentary series. It's just called Beef. I think they made like 3 or 4 of them. Oh, man, that's a great series to watch when you're just chilling out and you want to kind of educate yourself a little bit more about some of the beefs that have come before, the stuff like today.
Definitely, definitely. And let me just clarify, I love Biggie. It was just, you know, early in the Biggie Tupac beef, Tupac was my guy he was my guy first. So I was a Tupac fan, but I grew to love Biggie very quickly at a young age. So don't want to, you know, besmirch myself.
Yeah, you kind of just destroyed your street cred with all that, Clem.
Me and Biggie are born on the same day, May 21st. 2/18, that's when my mama water burst.
Oh, and by the way, the latest I'm hearing about Meek Mill's track, Want to Know, is that the WWE is looking into the possibility of suing him because he used the Undertaker theme music in the song.
Yeah, I mean, from bad to worse, no good, very bad day or whatever it is. That's Jeez. Meek Mill's life right now.
Well, Ronda Rousey had her big fight over this last weekend that I know you watched, Clem, as did I. It was a very convincing knockout. It took, 34 seconds or something like that? Yep. And I've heard some people kind of giving female MMA and Ronda Rousey a little bit of flack. Your boy Michael Rappaport was saying on Twitter that, like, you can't say that Ronda Rousey is dominant because female MMA in general is just in such its infancy that you can't make the types of comparisons like Ronda Rousey is the Michael Jordan of that world because the sport's so young. I don't know how you feel about that. To me, it's like, I can't blame her. I mean, she's wiped the floor with every opponent that they've put in front of her. I mean, what more can she do?
Yeah, I mean, Michael Rappaport, he is a Knicks fan, so we bleed the same blue and orange, but he just likes to hear himself talk. I think that's a little crazy. If you're great at what you do, like even the athletes from way back when, they're great. No one's like, oh, Jim Thorpe was great, but, you know, athletes aren't what they were now. Or Babe Ruth, you know, baseball was a different game back then. It's like, no, Babe Ruth was awesome, and Ronda Rousey is awesome. If it was like she was winning fights in the second, third round, but always winning, it's one thing. She's dominating a sport. It's the definition of dominating is what she's doing.
I wonder if it kind of presents a problem for Dana White and the rest of the UFC because these fights are so damn short that it kind of seems like you know how late this card went? It seems like they have to stack the cards that she's in now because they know the fight's not going to last long. So it might be somewhat of a business problem moving forward for Ronda Rousey, and it kind of seems like she's running out of opponents anyway because her next fight is going to be a rematch, and it was a fight she won. So who exactly wants to see that?
Yeah, I mean, speaking from my perspective, my problem with it was the lateness of it all. And I don't want to compare her to Tyson, but people watch Tyson knowing he was probably going to kill a guy in the first round. And that's the same reason I want to see Ronda Rousey win. I want to see dominance. I don't care if it's a quick fight or not. There's always a chance she gets hit by a punch and gets knocked out too. So that's always in your mind, especially with UFC. So if they could just, you know, an hour and a half shorter would be nice because 1:30 in the morning isn't the greatest time to be waiting for a fight if you're either just chilling at home or looking at a party and, you know, drink with the rest of your buddies.
No, I agree with that. It's certainly a problem if you live on the East Coast, but I guess that's why the fights are on Saturday nights.
Yes,
so you
exactly.
can stay up as late as you want. But moving forward for her career, it seems that the fight with Cyborg is really the biggest opponent she could possibly face. After the fight this past weekend, she was saying that Cyborg just needs to get off the juice and cut weight like the rest of us to make the weight that Ronda's at, whether that's going to happen or not. Remains to be seen, but that's certainly going to be like the biggest money draw that female MMA fighting in general is going to see anytime soon.
Yeah, and that's definitely going to happen because when you have two girls that don't like each other, it's going to happen. Because in high school, you know, when you had the two girls that were the fighting girls and you could just tell that there was some animosity, or like, all right, just hope I'm in the same room or in the lunchroom when this fight goes down. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. It's going to happen. Too much money. Dana White's too good of a promoter to not let this happen. If it was boxing, it probably wouldn't happen because it's just so fucked as a sport. But UFC, 100% going to happen in my mind.
You know, and I got to say, my favorite part of a lot of Ronda Rousey fights are her just looking extremely pissed off, kind of doing this like weird walk jog thing out to the octagon with Bad Reputation playing in the background. I've never seen a woman who can look so scary and so sexy simultaneously. It baffles my mind and other parts of my anatomy.
It's so It's funny you say that because I remember the ESPN body issue a couple years ago with her in it. And I didn't know that was Ronda Rousey until I saw a picture the other day on Barstool. Someone did a blog about her. And I was like, oh my God, that's Ronda Rousey. I'm like, whenever I see her, she's just angry and like has a welt under her. Someone, you know, she's putting a welt under someone else's eye. So yeah, a completely different person, man. She's unbelievable in every aspect of life, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Indeed she is. They're also saying that she's going to star in a biopic as herself. Now that's a pretty bold move to star in a movie as yourself. Where do you come down on that? I mean, Eminem kind of pulled it off in 8 Mile. I'll watch it because we get to see more Rousey on the big screen, but it's a bewildering move, I will say.
I just got my hands on the Entourage movie last night, and I will say Ronda Rousey's acting is not as good as her fighting. I'm just going to leave it at that in case by some random chance he hears this podcast, she needs to work a little bit on her acting, or else it's going to be more like the Marshawn Lynch biopic that they never released because it was so bad than, you know, Eminem pulling it off.
Did you happen to see the photos of her going to a soccer game in Brazil? Like most American fighters, when they go down to fight a Brazilian in Brazil, they get the hell out of that country as quick as possible because there's normally like death threats and stuff. But Clam, if you look at these pictures, you're going to fall in love with her even more because she's just double fisting hot dogs. She's talking about how awesome it is that she can eat whatever she wants now for a while and just relax. And the Brazilian people just kind of seem to accept her. You know, they recognize true greatness in a fighter, I suppose, but got to check those pictures out.
Yeah, they love the fighting and, you know, real recognize real. Ronda Rousey's real. Even after the fight, she was like, I want to thank the people that cheered for me, and I want to thank the people that even cheered against me. You just fire me up more. So she is awesome. The baddest bitch on the planet.
Well, Adidas has tried to steal James Harden away from his lucrative Nike contract by offering him $200 million, Clem. $200 million, it's a shoe deal that will last over 13 years, and his deal with Nike isn't even up yet. They're just kind of trying to plant the seed, I guess. But, you know, I was thinking about it, and speaking of UFC, have you noticed those terrible Reebok, I think they call them like fight kits? It's like a jogging suit that like everybody on in their corner has to wear. It looks straight out of 1993. Yep. They're ghastly. They're so terrible. And I kind of look at it as a hierarchy. Like right now, Reebok and a Reebok sponsorship is probably at the bottom. Then you have your Adidas and your Under Armour, and then you have Nike. Nike's still the king, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. Nike's the king until it's not the king anymore, and we'll know it then.
So if you're a normal guy like us, Clam, we would take like, you know, 40 or 50 bucks and a slice of pizza to rep any of these brands. But for a superstar like James Harden, do you really want to just take that kind of money and go to kind of a not as cool brand? I mean, is that going to hurt his look? What do you think he does? What's the smart move for James Harden?
You know, I would say if I'm James Harden, I would take the money and run, because he's kind of creating this like counterculture movement. That's true. He has the beard. Yeah. He has Khloe Kardashian. He has like the ugly Kardashian sister. And then he gets like the Adidas, kind of like the ugly shoe company. And it just kind of be that guy, the different guy. And let's be honest, James Harden in a couple of years is not going to have nearly the appeal he had this year. He's not going to be in the top three of the MVP race anytime soon again. So he might as well just cash in while the iron's hot.
If I'm James Harden, I ask for a provision in this deal where you get to just exclusively wear Adidas shell tops. Nothing else. None of this newfangled crap they've been trying in the UFC, because it's ugly.
My Adidas.
Well, fittingly, Hitchbot, the Canadian robot that was trying to hitchhike across the United States after already doing it in Canada and parts of Europe, was murked in Philadelphia, a truly fitting place to end his roboting career. There was a video that was produced, and I think, you know, it's a little fuzzy in my mind because the video itself turned out to be a hoax. Is that right? But this robot really did get destroyed in Philadelphia. That's not a hoax.
It's just so Philly. I heard it on the radio and I was just like, are you serious? Like, out of all the places in the world, not even in America, in the world, you couldn't pick a better place for him to get killed. And the whole hoax with the Randall Cunningham jersey and everything, like, everyone in my mind in Philadelphia has an old school Randall Cunningham jersey. So A+ to the guy who's did that. But I am so sick of hoaxes right now. And we need to stop doing this, people. We need to stop hoaxing each other. Is that even a word, hoaxing each other?
Should be.
But if it is, we need to stop doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the only thing that would have made it more Philly is if they had like pried the lithium battery out of Hitchbot so that they could have hurled it on the field during an Eagles game. It's really the only thing that could have made this better. But I think our buddy Barstool Jordy made some excellent points. He did a blog on this. We're being way too trusting towards this Canadian robot. We don't know its true intentions. This thing could be on a spy mission. You know, we don't know what kind of data this thing is picking up. So bravo, Philly.
Hey, and Jordy, listen, it's Canadian. It's here for peace. Any other country in the world.
We don't know that.
Oh, come on, man. Don't be besmirching Canada now. I love Canada.
Could have been trying to get at the Liberty Bell. We just don't know what's happening. We can't take these risks in Philadelphia.
Fair enough. Hey, I like you. I like Jordy. I'll go on your side for this one.
Coming up on the show, I'm going to let Clem talk about his beloved Mets, who have found some great momentum late in the season. I wonder why they're so good all of a sudden. Plus, today's the anniversary of Nolan Ryan beating the crap out of Robin Ventura, so I thought it'd be fun to look back at some of the best sports fights of all time. Then later in the show, we will make some undoubtedly very poor picks. We'll go through all the NFL divisions, tell you what we expect since the NFL season is starting in just a few weeks. Preseason starts this weekend. Woohoo. It's all coming up on the Sean and Bo Show.
Hey, do you like sports, pop culture with a little twist of comedy plus a ton of junk food reviews? No? Well, do you have any friends that do? Hey, this is Clem from theclemreport.com. I write a blog with basically all that stuff, some old school hip hop involved, sports, pop culture, everything you may need, plus 15 second food reviews, reviewing all the junk foods you see in the grocery store and say, is that good or is that terrible? Check me out, theclemreport.com or on Twitter at theclemreport, the C-L-E-M report. Kind of like the Colbert Report, not as funny and definitely not as political.
Welcome back to the Sean and Bo Show. Joined this week by guest co-host Clem from theclemreport.com. He also is a writer for Barstool Sports New York. Clem, I know you have a big grin on your face because despite me trying to get my Philadelphia stink on your Mets by watching that game tonight, it didn't work. They won again. They won yesterday 12-1. Besides locker room hog shows, what do you attribute this newfound success and the offense waking up? What's going on with these Mets?
Well, I mean, we were at rock bottom after the Gomez trade fell through. Wilmer Flores started crying, and then we lost a game in the most ridiculous fashion ever, which let me just break that down real quick. Up 7-1 in the seventh inning, give up a grand slam, 7-5 we're up, bottom of the top of the ninth, two outs, our closer on the mound, 45-minute rain delay, closer goes back up, gives up three runs, including a three-run homer to Justin Upton, 2.5-hour rain delay, and then we end up losing. The next day, they trade for Cespedes, and then everything has gone good since. So Cespedes, changed all the karma in the clubhouse, and I'm wearing my suit again. I'm suiting up. I do it every day on Twitter before a Mets game. I wear my suits during the game, and we just don't lose. So good pitching, decent defense, better hitting, and me in suits. That's basically the reason we've turned it around.
It's bizarre, the roller coaster that the Mets were on this year. They started off absolutely red hot and then went straight to baseball hell, like you said, in the middle of season. And now they're right back in the thick of things. Do you think that this team has legs to make moves in the playoffs? How far do you see them going?
I have to watch what I say here. I don't want to get killed by the Mets fans that listen to the show and say I'm jinxing them, but no one is going to want to play the Mets in October. You never want to play the team that has the best pitcher or the best pitching. And I mean, the Dodgers probably have the best 1-2 punch in baseball, but we all know how Kershaw is in October. And you're not going to get a better three arms than those three guys, Harvey, DeGrom, and Syndergaard. So, and then when Mats comes back. So I mean, we can make some serious moves, which if you had asked me this a week ago, I would probably have like cried even just.
No, I was worried about you. You seem to be going into, you know, tail spinning into a deep, dark place because of the Mets and also the carb-free diet you're on right now. I was yeah. A little concerned.
Yep. The low carb diet had me extra cranky. I had to, you know, just take a little nap just to kind of get the angst off. And I even did like my own podcast, like a 15-minute rant two days after those two losses. I just had to just rant on the podcast just to get it off my chest and like just so I could sleep at night. But I don't know, man. I just can't believe it's all coming together right now. This is how I attribute this Mets season and every Mets season. Smiles and cries, like in training day, smiles and cries. That's life as a Mets fan.
Oh, by the way, Clem, I unearthed my sports cards collection out of my parents' attic the other day. And right now I'm looking at a 1989 Donruss Dwight Gooden.
Oh God, the doc, what could have been, what should have been.
I know.
What never will be.
I miss that era of Mets baseball. I wasn't even a fan, but I like the personalities on that team during that era and all the cocaine use.
Yeah, I mean, hey, that's when I became a fan, and a lot of people, I wasn't a bandwagon fan. I didn't know if they were winning or losing. I just liked the team. You know what I mean? And those were some special days, man. The fact they only won one World Series is actually kind of a disappointment. And as close as they were to losing that World Series too, that would have been one of the biggest like misses ever in sports history.
Now, I respect that about not being a fair weather fan. Like for me, I'm a Phillies fan. And instead of picking a team that isn't an absolute disgrace, I just have pretended that baseball doesn't exist this year.
Oh yeah. I can't tell you how many seasons where it's like by the time August hits, you know, you have the Mets game on in the background, but you're researching your fantasy football, you know, rankings in the meantime as it's on, you know what I mean? It's because nothing matters anymore. So and I heard someone called the Mets fairweather fans. It's like, I don't know what fan base you're talking about, but as a Mets fan and as a Knicks fan, we don't have fairweather fans. We just have like sad fans who get a little too excited when something good actually goes their way.
Bipolar fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, today marks the anniversary of one of the most badass things I've ever seen out of a baseball player, besides Wade Boggs drinking all those beers on an airplane. It's the anniversary of Nolan Ryan putting young Robin Ventura in a headlock and just slapping the top of his head repeatedly before being broken up. I think that was probably the best sports fight I've ever seen in my life. Does anything else come close for you, Clem?
The Kyle Farnsworth fight was pretty awesome just cause he was all bloodied up. The Yankees Orioles fight was great because, Graham Lloyd was like boxing like a kangaroo. That was during, I think, the 96 playoffs after Chino got hit in the back.
What was that? And then, what was that fight? I don't even think it was here, or if it was, it was minor league, where like the batter before he charges the mound turns to the catcher and just delivers like an awesome kick right to his face, and then he goes after the pitcher.
That was my next one. Yeah, Izzy Alcantara,
yes.
Red Sox prospect. Yes, that was my third one.
It was so smart. It's like he knows he's going to come break this fight up. Let me take care of him first, then go after the pitcher.
Two things you do if you're in a baseball fight from now on. One, you take out the catcher. He's full of pads and he can probably fight because he's a catcher. Mm-hmm. And then two, you go to the mound with the bat. He just threw a ball at your head, 90 miles per hour. That's a lethal weapon. You get a lethal weapon now. You have the bat. I think it's a fair trade-off.
In terms of other sports fights, my favorite college football brawl was the U and was it MIU? the it was just an absolute
FIU
rather. It was just a absolute maelstrom in the middle of the field. You had helmets being used as weapons. You had people idiotically punching people who are wearing helmets. Like, what's that going to do besides break your own damn hand? Stomps to the head. That fight had everything.
And the announcer was from the U, and he was like, kill them, kill them. And everyone got all, I think he got fired because of it too. That was incredible. I was, the University of Miami, I mean, just the greatest, most entertaining school of all time.
Absolutely. And then, do you remember that youth hockey league fight between, I think Russia and Canada, where they actually had to like shut off the lights of the arena to attempt to get it to stop, and it didn't?
Yep. Oh, come on, you hoser. Settle down now. Stop fighting. Yeah. That was crazy too. Hockey fights are awesome. They're all awesome. Goalie fights are always the best too. Whenever the goalies get involved.
Yeah. If I'm picking a number two fight, if that Nolan Ryan, Robin Ventura fight's number one, and you can't really even call it a fight because at times it was players versus fans, who can forget the Malice in the Palace?
I that's like one of those, you know, I remember where I was moments. Cause I remember I was dating my wife and we were upstairs watching TV and I'm like, oh my God. And she's like, what? This doesn't happen all the time. Like, this is changing sports as we know it. This is history going down right now on TV. That was unbelievable. Like Ron Artest and Steven Jackson, like just going in the crowd. There was the guy who looked like Turtle that almost got killed by what's his name? Jermaine O'Neal. If he didn't slip, he would have gotten just sent into another country. And Ben Wallace started it all too. And no one ever talks about that.
Yeah. You know, I think that maybe it's me being nostalgic again, but it seems like we don't see these awesome fights as much as we used to back in the day. I want to see like, maybe Bryce Harper go after somebody. I can see he kind of seems like a hothead. Like he might do that, but I don't know. I don't know what would be a modern day equivalent to Robin Ventura, Nolan Ryan. Maybe if Harper goes after your boy Bartolo,
if he goes after my boy Bartolo, I will run down to Citi Field and I'll get into a scrap myself too, because that's my homie right there. I can't let that happen. There's been like some like bad blood between the Blue Jays and the Royals.
Yeah,
that's maybe something we could see maybe in the playoffs even, because if they show down, that would be great.
Couple players got suspended because of that ongoing thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's like the little Spanish guys like Volquez and what's his name? The Ventura. Those pitchers they're just headhunting right now and they're pissing everyone off. So that started when Brett Laurie was a Blue Jay. He's not even there anymore and it's still going on.
Well, it's nice to see that even though Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, isn't playing football anymore, he's at least keeping busy. The other night he tweeted out, "Anybody in Norfolk play FIFA 15? I will come to your house and politely embarrass you on Xbox One in front of your family and friends." Somebody tweeted at him. He responded, "Fool think I won't pull up to his house and go straight to the refrigerator, then beat him in FIFA 15? He gonna learn today." And then not shortly thereafter, this fan tweeted out a picture of Ocho Cinco on his couch with Chad Johnson tweeting him over here, passing out L's in FIFA 15 in at the 3CMO house. So Ocho Cinco was supposed to play in the CFL. He had some deal signed with the Alouettes, I believe, and he didn't even show up. I don't know if he had something, him and Michael Sam didn't get along or something like that, but he didn't even call the team. Like I was reading this quote by a team official that said he could have even called, you know, I don't even know if he's in this country or not. So we know where Chad Johnson is. It's on a couch playing FIFA with random Twitter followers. And Clem, what makes this story even better is that he lost. He did not even deliver on his brag.
That's disappointing too, because I figure you talk that much trash, you got to be good enough to definitely win the match. And going to some random person's house, you figure they're probably, you know, average at best at the game. They just want to, you know, meet you. That's disappointing, but I love it though. I actually I think one of the reasons I started with Twitter was because Ocho Cinco was on there. And remember, he was like buying people like their meals. He's like, hey, if you're at my restaurant, the restaurant I'm at, I'll buy your meal. And I play video games. I'll play Madden with people. That kind of got me like, oh, Twitter's kind of a cool thing now. And now I'm like obsessed with it. So I love it. Even though he kind of went off the deep end for a little there. God bless Ocho Cinco, man.
So I was going to ask you, Clem, I know you're a big fan of Madden. If you could play with any current or former player, if you could have them come over to your house, steal some adult beverages from your refrigerator like Ocho Cinco did, and then play you at Madden, who would you pick?
Whew. That's a loaded question right there. I'm just going to go with the flavor of the month. I'm going to go with my boy Odell Beckham just because he's on the Madden cover and he's the coolest dude in the world. So
you wouldn't even,
I'm going ODB.
You wouldn't even be able to see the TV screen with that hair of his. It'd be in the way. Get your ass kicked.
Yeah, I actually was going to grow my hair out and get the whole dye job done and everything. And this is from someone who hasn't grown his hair more than 2 inches in years. But the guy's just the best, man. He's incredible. And if I scored a touchdown, I'd do the whip. And then he'd probably just laugh at me and turn the game off and leave.
Yeah. Yeah. I would pick like Joe Montana or somebody like that because he's not going to trash talk you at all. He's just going to, you know, if you start saying something to him, he's just going to give you a look of disapproval and then walk back out into his Bentley.
I was going to say Barry Sanders, but he doesn't smile at all. So I don't think he'd even want to come over. He'd just be like, I'm out of here, Clem. See you later.
Yeah, that could be true. Coming up in the next segment, Clem and I are looking forward to the NFL season so much that we are willing to make some really bad picks. We're going to look at every NFL division, tell you who is going to win. Plus, Romo has a message for Dez Bryant, who got into a fight during training camp the other day, or at least took some swings at a guy. And, of course, the South Carolina Lizard Man. You can't miss that. It's coming up on the Sean and Bo Show. Hey, everybody. Thank you very much for checking out the Sean and Bo Show. Do you enjoy the podcast? We hope you do. And if you enjoy it and you'd like to help us by spreading it to as many listeners as possible, there's a very easy and simple thing you can do for us to accomplish that goal. Just go to SeanAndBoShow.com, SeanAndBoShow.com. And at the top of the page there, you'll see an iTunes button. Click on that iTunes button and be sure to subscribe. It'll take you to our iTunes page where you can do that. And also, if you're feeling extra generous, just give us a quick review and a rating. It'll help us a lot. So again, go to SeanAndBoShow.com and click that iTunes button. Welcome back to the Sean and Bo Show. I still haven't managed to wrangle Throatzilla and get her to come on the show, but I do have the next best thing, Clemzilla from theclemreport.com. He also writes for Barstool Sports New York. Clem, I'm sure you've seen these commercials by now, the new DirecTV spots that feature Tony Romo and Eli Manning.
Yep, and as usual, Eli's just a little better than Romo when it matters.
He really is. He really is. Like it always cracks me up because like him and Peyton aren't guys that I would expect to be funny, but whenever they go on SNL or whatever, they always hit it out of the park. So I wasn't too surprised by that. But Romo at the Cowboys camp actually missed this past Friday because he had a sty in his right eye. His eyelid was all jacked up and swollen. And he jokingly said, I don't know if he was joking or not, that it was caused by too much makeup from the DirecTV spots where he plays, what is it, craft guy or whatever they called it.
Yep.
But hey, that might not be a joke because I think like a lot of makeup can cause a sty, which is just basically like a blocked pore in and around your eye. So I don't know. I don't know if he was being serious or not.
It's just so typical Romo. I mean, anything that can go wrong for like stupid reasons does go wrong. Like, remember when he took that vacation right before the playoffs with Jason Witten's family or girlfriend or family or whatever, and it became a big thing. And then they lost to the Giants. Sorry, Bo. The next week. So it's just so Romo. It hurts right now.
Yeah, and you know, he's when he's not making jokes in those commercials, he's apparently making jokes with his teammates. I don't know if you'd seen this thing last week where Dez Bryant took a swing at one of his teammates during practice, but Romo has weighed in on that as well. According to 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, he reportedly said, quote, "If you break your hand, then I'm going to end up breaking mine because I'm going to be so mad at you, I'm going to hit you." So no more of this hitting and no more swinging. Let's move on and get to work. I'm not quite sure how long it took Dez Bryant to stop laughing, but I think, you know, it was one of these situations where he's trying to stop the bully from fighting by making the bully laugh.
Yeah, that would have been bad news. I didn't even think about Dez breaking his hand in a fight, but you never know. You could, a knee goes in the wrong place. If a guy falls on you or something, that would have been bad news. So with Dez, you just got to kind of just go down to his level and speak his language. You know what I mean? He's crazy. And I'm not saying he's not a smart guy or anything like that. He's just a crazy dude. He's crazy competitive. You just say, dude, if you break your hand, we're done. Cause we already lost to Marco Murray, and we'll get to our NFL picks later about where I think the Cowboys will finish.
him taking a swing at another teammate doesn't surprise me in the least. I was telling Bo that I was expecting this kind of behavior out of Dez after he did get that big deal. Like, if what we saw before was Dez on his best behavior trying to get a deal, now that he's got that big money, we're going to see the true Dez Bryant.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. In fantasy or whatever, you always want the guy on a contract year, and then the guy after a contract's been paid, No bueno.
And since you brought up a broken hand, you know, while we're on the subject of, you know, damaged hands, do we know how many fingers JPP has left?
No, we don't, because there was a picture that came out and his thumb might be gone because it's all wrapped in gauze. And you know how when you have a cast, usually your thumb is sticking out. There was no thumb sticking out, but there was a ton of bandage. So I don't know where it is. And I am very scared.
Oh, he's just going to have a little bony nub for a thumb.
Oh, it's going to be so gross. That's probably how he's going to rush the passer. No one's going to want to touch his nub, so he's just going to get past them.
Get away from me with that gimpy nub. God, that's gross. Oh, maybe man. You can use it as a weapon, like poke people in the eyes with it.
Yeah, or can he just, like, you know how they have, like, the guys when they break their hands, they have, like, the club and it's, like, a cast and they just beat dudes with it? Like, maybe they could just wear the club 24/7 and just kill guys with it the entire time.
Well, I mean, Bo was saying that, I mean, among positions, that position is one of the easiest to play if you're missing a finger. You know, it's obviously at that level, it's still going to affect him somewhat, but it's like you don't really need great hand dexterity to play that.
No, that's what I heard. I saw a tweet about it, and a guy was like, out of the most important fingers for a defensive end, like, it's the pinky and this and that. And I'm like, this is where we are in 2015, is where we break down what fingers are right to blow off with fireworks. I love the time we live in right now. It's great. It's so entertaining.
Well, the details of this story are somewhat disturbing. I only bring it up because there are a couple of really funny details about it. The father of Texans defensive end Jadeveon Clowney is being charged with attempted murder, Clam. This happened outside of a strip club in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I wonder if that's anywhere near the Lizard Man we're going to be talking about soon. But regardless, after being kicked out of the club this is one of the details that just has me scratching my head. He was sitting on the stage of the strip club. Sitting on the stage. Don't you want to be like lower than the stage at a strip club so you can see up? Who would do that?
Maybe Jadeveon Clowney's dad is a little freakier than we give him credit for. And if that's the case, I don't know. But I mean, dude, you're a dad of an NFL player. You're a little too old to be going to strip clubs. You know, give me a break, man. I don't know what his deal is, but I mean, if he's on the stage, there's something else at work here. I don't even want
to
know.
Well, I would like to know how he got his nickname. Clowney's father, his nickname is Chili Bean. I don't think I've met too many white dudes that can pull off the nickname Chili Bean, but I would love to know the genesis of that nickname.
Well, you want to know how I got my nickname?
No.
I'm going to tell you anyway. My nickname is Chili Bean, actually, because I just stole that from Jadeveon Clowney's dad. I'm going to tell all my friends I want to be known as Chili Bean. I used to be the Meat Hook after Dimitri Young. Now I'm the Chili Bean.
All right.
That's an incredible nickname.
I'll abide by it if you switch your Twitter handle. So I guess Jadeveon was understandably, quote, highly upset when he found out this news. But I just bad news for the Texans right now. We heard earlier today that Arian Foster might need surgery from a groin injury. Two words that absolutely always 100% send a shiver down my spine. I do not like the phrase groin injury. Ugh.
Yeah, that's rough, man. And that guy's always a little nicked up. And then I saw someone call it a soft tissue injury, and it sent like a shiver down my spine. I'm like, oh, soft tissue groin injury. Oh, I actually had a pain in my groin just thinking about it. So that's rough, man. Rough break.
All right, well, let's get down to it. Since, of course, we have NFL preseason starting this weekend with the Hall of Fame game, it's time for Clem and I to sound like idiots when we look back on these picks months from now. But nonetheless, let's take a look at the NFL divisions and make some picks. So, Clem, let's start off with the AFC East. This is a really interesting division for me this year. You have Rex Ryan beginning in Buffalo. He's generally pretty good when he starts his tenure with the team, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Bills did really well. You have, of course, the Jets. Don't see them doing much. You have the Patriots, who, of course, are going to be with handsome Jimmy Garoppolo to start the season, but then they're going to have a both rested and pissed off Tom Brady when he makes his return. So I don't see them falling off too much from where they were last year. And then you have the Dolphins, who are going to have a new look defense thanks to signing Sue. So a lot of moving pieces in that division. How do you feel about it?
Every year I take the Patriots, and it's the easiest pick I make every single season. And I have Patriots down right now on my piece of paper, but you know what? I'm a stupid, stupid person. And the one time the Patriots didn't win the AFC East in like the last 10 years was the year Brady missed the season, and they still almost won with Matt Castle. I'm going with the Dolphins. I'm going because even though he just got paid, like we just talked about, and Ndamukong Suh is a crazy person as well. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins here. After all the stuff I just said, I'm going against everything my heart says, and I'm going Dolphins.
See, I don't think that one player is going to fix such a terrible defense that the Dolphins had. For me, it's more of a coin flip between the Bills and the Patriots. I'm going to take the easy way out and say the Patriots. But again, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo did real well this season.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. The Giants are playing the AFC East this year, their schedule, and I'm not happy about it because those are four legit teams that are all like 7-9, 8-8. Like floor is almost, if they were in any division, their floor would be like 8-8.
Yep. Moving on to the AFC North, you have the Baltimore Narcs, as we found out earlier today with the release of those transcripts from the Deflategate investigation. It was confirmed that the Ravens did tip off the Colts. Then you have the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger seems to be playing better and better the older he gets. I think he's staying away from those bar restrooms and the problems that occur therein. You have the Browns, who still seem to have a mess at quarterback. Johnny Football, obviously not making any giant strides we've been hearing about, so I don't expect much out of them. And basically, same thing for the Bengals. Those two teams are just perennial losers. So this division, it's easy for me. I'm saying the Steelers are going to win this handily.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Ravens will be in it, but they just have too much turnover. The Steelers' defense gives me a little bit of pause, but the Steelers' offense is going to be ridiculous. And once Le'Veon comes back, he'll be nice and well-rested. It's just going to be fireworks.
Then you move on to the AFC South. You know, I haven't seen enough improvement from any of these terrible teams that I would pick anyone besides the Colts. With the exception maybe of the Texans, which we'll be seeing a lot more of during Hard Knocks. Maybe we'll see some interesting storylines develop there. But again, I haven't seen enough to pick anybody but the Colts.
Yeah, you know, the only team you could have possibly talked me into was the Texans. If you said Watt was going to be Watt again, and then Clowney could be what everyone thought he could be 2 years ago, and he killed that Michigan running back. Mm-hmm. But now with Foster hurt, it's over. They're done. It's a trash division. Colts are going to run unless Andrew Luck gets hurt. That's the only way they don't win the division handily, too.
Okay, I'm going to let you go first with the next division because I'm a bit biased. The AFC West, how do you see this shaking out?
Sean, I wanted to do it. I was trying to do it. I wanted to take the Chiefs so badly in this division.
Be smart. And
I was very close to doing it, but I feel like the Broncos are going to try to get the lead early and everyone's going to be motivated and saying, this is Peyton's last season. We got to win it for him. We got to take care of him. If he's healthy to start the season, they got to keep him healthy to finish the season because it was a disaster at the end. I'm taking the Broncos, but I believe in the Chiefs and I'll be rooting for you all the way, pal.
Okay, let me tell you why you're wrong here. The Broncos are too old, man. Just bottom to top, they're just not that talented from a player personnel standpoint. Sure, you have Peyton Manning, but I mean, for a guy with bad shoulders and a bad neck, I think his eventual retirement's going to be ugly. I mean, he's going to maintain that great football IQ of his, but that's not going to matter too much when he's throwing those absolute wobbly duck passes of his. And, you know, you're seeing a division where the other pieces in the division are getting better and better. So absent the Broncos finding some missing weapon, I don't really see how they can be in the same echelon as the Chargers and the Chiefs this season. Granted, the Chiefs' first home game is against the Broncos, so we're going to see how they stack up fairly early in the season. But I just think the Broncos are on the decline and the Chiefs are going up. Not only that, though, the Chargers are also looking really good. I think Phillip Rivers' skill is in direct proportion to how many kids he's sired, because the more he has, the older he gets, the better he seems to be. The bolo tie could surprise some people this season. I mean, the Raiders still suck, but this is a real tight division. So, of course, I'm going to say the Chiefs, but it's murky, man. It's real murky.
The real X factor in that division is Melvin Gordon, because I read something today that his mom won't wear his jersey in the stands until he proves himself. So, like, if it was me, that would motivate me more than any money or anything else potentially could. Is like, I need my mom to wear my jersey and be proud that I'm her son, you know? So that's the real X factor in all this. If Melvin Gordon wants to impress his mama, they could run away with the division.
For oh, whatever. He can impress his mama by buying her a new Escalade. You know, once you get to that level, I don't think your parents wearing your jersey means quite as much as it did back in Pee Wee.
We'll see, man. My mom never wore my jersey, so I guess I wasn't too good.
All right, let's talk about your division, the NFC East. Woo, I don't know where to go with this one. You have all these weird allegations of racism in Chip Kelly's locker room. You have the Redskins, RG3 thinks he's great. Nobody else seems to. Then you got the Cowboys. I would love to sit here and bash the Cowboys in front of Bo, because I know he'll be listening to this. I think they're going to be awfully good this year, Clam. Your Giants, I think that's a great offense. You know, the defense, middle of the road, even if JPP is missing a finger or two. But I am going with Vegas. I actually had to do a little fact checking on this one because I was torn. I was like, the Giants have a shot at this. You know, that's a great, great offense. So if they put tons and tons of points on the board, which I'm sure they're going to do, they've got a crack at this division. But the odds to win the Super Bowl, not just the division, Cowboys plus 1,200, Giants plus 2,500. I'm going with Vegas.
That's fine. I don't blame you. Hey, to each their own. Cowboys, you know, they were very good last year. They got that line. But I will say, before JPP blew his fingers off, I thought the division was a lock for the Giants. Philly's just been taking losses everywhere you look this season between, you know, no offense, your Phillies have had a rough year. The Sixers had another rough year. Meek Mill just got murdered by a Toronto rapper. Will Smith just got divorced from Jada Pinkett.
Yeah, hey, by the way, I meant to bring that up. What the hell was Will Smith doing at that Drake concert? Was he looking for some new tail? Because, like, she just left him, right?
That's exactly what he's doing, man. You got to go. You have to go to the young rapper now. You know, the Fresh Prince ain't one moves those numbers. So you got to go to Drake's concert because he has all the shorties checking him out. So he had to go there.
Yeah, I guess that's what he's doing. Probably not a bad move because he was right up there next to Kanye and Drake. So
you never know. Exactly. But I'm going the Giants, and this is what Vegas doesn't tell you. This is lost in the numbers. Let me give you my number. The number's 4. Every 4 years, it's like the leap year comes. The Giants play the AFC East like they did in 07, like they did in 2011, and like they're doing in 2015. They play the AFC East. They go through the regular season. They make the playoffs, and Eli somehow finds a way to take them to that Super Bowl. So we're due. 2008, 2012, 2016, all very happy years in the Clem household.
Hey, and you know what I also bring up about the Cowboys? Lael Collins, I mean, he got great superlative marks during his career in college, but that may have been when he was still on Throatzilla's good side, if you know what I mean.
That's a mistake on his part. You do not cross Throatzilla. Just a terrible move. It's like Little B the bass guy. Don't cross him. Don't cross Throatzilla. Day one stuff.
That'd make an excellent rap album. The collaboration. All right, let's look at the NFC North. The Bears, the Vikings, the Packers, the Lions. You have Adrian Peterson, I guess reluctantly at first, returning to the Vikings, but now he's being fully embraced. They even like included his picture as some sort of family day promotion at Vikings camp, which is absolutely hilarious. Packers, though, they're a lot of people's pick to win the whole damn thing. Aaron Rodgers and his ridiculously hot girlfriend, Olivia Munn, just seem to be hitting on all cylinders. I don't have a reason not to pick the Packers. What say you?
You got to go with the Packers. The Vikings have kind of become like the dark horse team for a lot of prognosticators and whatever. I'm all in on the Vikings too, before I knew even if Peterson was coming back, but the Vikings are the pick. You got Cobb, you got Jordy, you got Eddie Lacy, all with Aaron Rodgers there. Best quarterback, best offense, and defense just has to be good enough. Packers in a blowout.
Yeah, agreed. Then we get over to the trash fire of the NFL, the NFC South. I guess the smart pick would be the Saints because all the rest of these teams are absolutely terrible. But if Jameis plays strong this season, I could see the Buccaneers being a much improved team. Not so much more improved that I would pick them to win this division, but it's not crystal clear in my mind that the Saints are going to run away with this. But gun to my head, I'm picking the Saints.
I'm going to go with the Panthers, and it's going to be ugly like it was last year, I think. But, you know, they did win the division last year for as much as that counts. They won a playoff game against Arizona's 50th string quarterback in the playoffs, granted. But they won a playoff game, too. Cam is still Cam. He's on the way up where I think Breeze is on his way down. And, like, all this stuff that came out with Junior Gallette after he got released and everything about Sean Payton, that's bad karma in that locker room, man. There's some voodoo going down in New Orleans. I do not like it. Give me the Panthers. They got a good off. They're building an offense around Cam Newton. And as long as Jonathan Stewart stays healthy, like 5% chance that happens, I think they're going to easily win this division.
Hey, speaking of the Panthers, where's Jimmy Clausen playing these days? Is it still Chicago?
Playing football or playing professional dodgeball somewhere?
He has a lounge act. I got to say I lost a lot of respect for Cam Newton when I saw that video of the Buccaneers cannon going off in the background during warmups and him looking like a scared 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't good. That wasn't a good look. But just think about it this way. The Buccaneers, like, greatest player in their franchise is Warren Sapp, and he's a scumbag. So you can look past that for Cam Newton then.
NFC West. The Seahawks added a major, major piece with Jimmy Graham. I don't think any of these teams can hang with them. I mean, the 49ers were sort of battling with them for a while, but they've lost so many damn pieces. I think that this might be the biggest gap in a division. I think the Seahawks are just going to run away with it.
I'm going to go a little against you here just because I always try to every year there's always turnover in terms of who makes the playoffs and who wins the divisions and stuff like that. And I thought the Seahawks were going to fall last year. I was wrong on that, obviously. But, you know, those teams that lose a Super Bowl, a lot of times it's a hard time getting back there the next season. I mean, you can't lose in a much more terrible way than they lost. So I think, Russell Wilson's another guy who just got paid. Same with Bobby Wagner. You want the guy hungry, not just getting his contract, plus the whole Sierra thing.
He's hungry because of that Sierra thing.
Hey, man, that's a whole different kind of hunger. I don't know if that's good.
Thirsty.
Exactly. Thirsty. But weird stuff happens to teams that are, that have that Super Bowl loss. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals here. They could have won they were leading the division all year last year until Palmer went down, and then Stan goes down too. And at that point they were just playing musical chairs with quarterbacks. I felt terrible for them. They like were longing for the John Skeleton days. It was so bad. So I'm going to go with, Seattle. Jimmy Graham is a huge weapon, obviously, for Seattle, but anyone who's had a Jimmy Graham in football, fantasy football the last few seasons knows that that guy just gets hurt by the end of the season. He's worn down and he's just doing nothing for you at the end of the year. So I think even though they lost Todd Bowles to the Jets, I was wrong of Bruce Arians, man. He's a legit coach. He was good in Indianapolis. He's been good in Arizona. I'm going Arizona.
Preseason, just a few short days away. I always love this time of the year, Clam, when the weather starts to get just a little bit cooler. And for those just couple brief weeks where we actually enjoy preseason football.
Yep, from your lips to God's ears. I pre-ordered Madden today, and I cannot wait to play it.
Well, with those picks, which I'm sure we're going to look back upon in a few months and realize how wrong we were, to truly important news, Clem, I've got this great story. I've been a little let down by all the Bigfoot researchers and such this summer because I haven't seen any good, weird Bigfoot news or anything like that. But we do have a lizard man. Now, I'm pretty sure Clem's been having night terrors since I showed him this story, but this is all going on in South Carolina, Lee County, where somebody posted a video of, well, what appears to be a half man, half lizard roaming through the woods. Now, as is customary when I discuss these types of stories, Clem, lube up a little bit. But lizard men, they've been... There's always been this theory that like the Illuminati and like the politicians in power are half men, half lizards. That lends a little bit of credence to this, but also Clem, the video itself, it's pretty believable, right? It doesn't look like a big fluffy costume like so many of these damn Bigfoot videos end up being, but you saw the video. What do you think? Lizard man? Is it real? Could it be real?
You know what? Growing up, I was always skeptical of all like the fake rumors or the Bigfoots and the Loch Ness monsters of the world. Where's the fun in that? I'm believing everything I see from now on until someone tells me it's a hoax. Because even the things that are the most believable in the world, we find out are hoaxes. I'm all in on Lizard Man. It's 100% real. Illuminati, it's probably a True Detective like season 3 thing we'll figure out down the road. Like, just get Reddit on the case. They'll figure this all out. So I'm 100% in real Lizard Man. I worship Lizard Man. Please do not eat me, Lizard Man. I love you. Let's have a beer one day.
Even though they also posted a picture that of another lizard man sighting in this area that somebody saw after they went to a Sunday church, I don't think you've seen this picture, Clem, but it looks like the villain from Power Rangers back in the day, like a costume like that with like the big giant oversized hands and sculpted muscles and these big fake red looking eyes. But nevertheless, Clem, I think that when we see photographs like this, you know, expect the unexpected. You know, just because this looks fake, you know, that might just be a smear campaign by Lizard Men supporters who are trying to get Lizard Man a little bit more space. You know what I'm saying? They don't want people going out into the bogs looking for Lizard Man. They want you and I to believe Lizard Man is fake.
Typical liberal media, just always twisting it their way, however they want to. It's a joke. Lizard men are real. They've been real since Mortal Kombat with Reptile. He was like, I think in the first one, he was unlockable guy. That's exactly what I saw that picture. That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like Reptile from Mortal Kombat 3. I welcome the lizard men with open arms, and just know that you have a friend on the Sean and Bo podcast.
Yeah, I'd eat some wings with Lizard Man. I don't have a problem with Lizard Man. I'm Team Lizard Man.
Hashtag Team Lizard Man. Let's get it started.
That's going to do it for the show for today. I'm Sean O'Donnell for my co-host, Clem. Follow him at The Clem Report. Hit him up on his website, theclemreport.com, where if you haven't seen his hilarious 15-second food reviews, go there and check those out. A bunch of funny blog articles he writes for Barstool New York. So, Clem, thank you very much for joining us. I'd just like to remind you and everybody else, tip your pizza man.